Hello again, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 240 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always, with me as always, or certainly most of the time, is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey everyone.
And we are back, as we are, each and every week to talk about basketball and basketball video games. Well, really just basketball video games this week. We don't have a lot to say about what's going on in the NBA at the moment. It's kind of dragging on towards the playoffs at this point, and I guess your team's dealing with a shot, mine is not, so I'm just disappointed that they're not tanking better. They don't seem to be... that they're winning when they're not supposed to, and they're being forced to play their players now, the Bulls. They've been warned about that, so no tanking for the wicked. But we do have a couple of things to talk about with basketball games this week, a couple of interesting news items, as there usually is. We can usually dig something up each and every week, and of course our week in basketball gaming. But we're going to start this week's show off with a little note about NBA Live, or I guess NBA Live 19, the future of NBA Live. And there's been a lot of speculation, Ben, well, we've talked about it in previous shows, about the future of Live and whether they might skip this year. We both said that it seems like a very unlikely thing. And we actually have a quote that was pulled by the NBA Live Veterans Committee from the Investors Call, an EA Electronic Arts Investors Call, about the financial year of 2019, which of course begins later this year. Which actually confirms that NBA Live is in the plans, as we suspected, basically.
Yeah, I think it was shady calls to suggest that the game wouldn't come out. And as we stated, you know, it'd take away all the good faith and momentum that they've built up with Live 18 this year. So it seemed kind of stupid. I mean, you know, with the possibility of them potentially moving into Frostbite, I could sort of, you know, yeah, I could sort of see the argument, but I think it was too much of a risk to do that this year, so I'm glad that they haven't, and, you know, this confirms it at this stage.
At this stage, I mean, I suppose anything can happen, but at the moment it is in the plans, and that's always encouraging to hear. So the quote that's been pulled by the NLVC is, in financial year 19, we will push the boundaries even further for our players with new experiences into our next FIFA, Madden NFL, NHL, and NBA Live will all bring new dimensions of gameplay, self-expression, and social connection. So that seems to be the tagline they're going with their products this year. I'm guessing it means more online connectivity and social media, integration with creators, that kind of thing, is something you brought up before we started recording. But obviously, good to hear gameplay being such an important aspect of any video game, really. Yeah. Needless to say, self-expression. I would guess things much like we have with the brand in-game branding of, as far as NBA Live is concerned, all the Bathing Ape and Undefeated, and all those brands. That kind of self-expression. That would be my guess. The only thing, of course, that concerns me is with NBA Live, especially, is game modes, because it's still very shallow in that regard. But I am glad to hear that NBA Live is already being talked about in the cards, so we can probably put, at least for now, we can put all that speculation to rest. And also new dimensions of gameplay, we still want to see the gameplay get better, so it sounds like they're looking forward to marketing spin and all that aside, it's in the plans, and they're looking to do big things with all their EA Sports brands, so that is promising news as always.
Yeah, you know, it's not a title being left behind in that sort of aspect. So, you know, obviously we'll know more. I reckon we'll know more at EA Play. I think that's when we'll get our first introduction of it.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so too. I wouldn't expect to see too much before then. NBA Finals, of course, is around the time of EA Play and E3, so naturally probably some tie-ins there, unless they announce the cover athlete early, which they've been seem to be releasing that later and later, the cover player, in recent years. I think it was NBA Live 15, they took ages to mention that it was Damian Lillard. They didn't reveal that until ages, you know, really deep into the previous season.
Yeah, I think, you know, since it was going through that, you know, that rebrand phase and, you know, shoe development and all that stuff, it was like, oh, do we risk announcing it now? And then, or we just potentially hold out on the deal for another year kind of stuff. So I think when there was the element of uncertainty of if the game was going to release or not, or if it was going to release on time. So I think that was the precaution of it. Hopefully this year, you know, that they'll be a lot more certain in that sense, and they'll have the the product ready to go in that
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. Live 15 did end up getting pushed back till late. Was it November that it came out?
Late November. It was at least a month or so late.
It was at least 2 or 3 weeks after the initial release date, or late October, early November. I have to double check that in the wiki in a sec, but yeah, that's a good point. It was pushed back, but doesn't sound like there's any. I mean, it sounds like everything's on track with NBA Live, which is obviously good news. And again, the fact that they're mentioning it this early, we can stop speculating, I suppose, that it's not going to be coming out. Again, don't know where that came from. Maybe it's just thinking that they might do it to go to Frostbite or polish up the game, because, of course, they took a couple of years off last time. But different situation, I think. And the fact that they skipped that early 2017 release, which we were very skeptical that was going to happen, I think. We both were unsure whether it was going to be a good idea, or with the drive to NBA Live, NBA Live 17, whatever that was going to be. Of course, you ended up playing at the community event. You ended up playing the game before, as it was, with NBA Live 18 at that point. Yeah. So,
but yeah, got to see the difference between some of the stages where they were at from when they were going to release the Live 17 version and that. So yeah, it was amazing to sort of see the difference. That was basically about a 3 month difference in that sort of sense from when I was there. So that was pretty cool to see. And yeah, you could definitely at that point see the improvement. And I think that given it was a few months later the game came out, that yeah, it was definitely worth it in that sense.
So self-expression, again, my initial thought is, well, the in-game branding, Bathing Ape, etc., being able to customize your player and perhaps other elements of the game as well. Gameplay, self-explanatory, continued improvements to gameplay. We've obviously got plenty of suggestions there and the things we hope to see. Social connection. You know, I wonder if they are going to bring more squad modes in, similar to what 2K Pro-Am is in NBA 2K. What NBA 2K is with 2K Pro-Am, whether they will continue to expand live run, etc., to have squads, because that's something a lot of people have been asking for, and we've expressed our interest in that as well. So that would certainly be a social connection.
Yeah, well, I admit that was one of the big things that all the guys that were at the community event in May were suggesting. You know, it was pretty much one of the top things that was suggested for some of the mode elements in that. So hopefully it is something they incorporate into it, which would be awesome. Social connection also, you know, whether that potentially means some, you know, some video editing stuff or things like that, something, you know, for the content creators like Shady and all that stuff, that can do some really cool in-game stuff. That would be awesome if they included that sort of element.
It could be as well, yeah. Definitely, obviously, something that's very community-oriented, which I am happy to see, because that stuff is obviously very important these days. One thing I do hope with NBA Live 19, because I just submitted our wish list for NBA Live 19 and NBA 2K19, the threads are still open if you want to keep contributing to them. Obviously, we'll keep passing along anything there, but the main bulk of our collected feedback so far has been pushed along. I've said, hey, you know, we've really got a lot of stuff. Check it out now before it's too late, to our contacts at both companies. But one thing that I stressed in my post that I think is very important with NBA Live 19 and certainly 2K19 as well, although it's, I think, less of an issue with its deep modes, but Live 19 really does need to have those deep experiences in the One and franchise. It needs to have and Ultimate Team. It needs to have those single-player experiences as much as the social connection, the online connected experiences, because I mean, you're not always going to have people to play with online, or you're not always going to desire to play online. Or if you're international like we are, the online experience isn't very good at the moment because they don't have an Australian server. So it's. I've tried playing online in Live 19, and I've had some okay. Sorry, Live 18. 18, yeah. I should say. tried playing Live 18 online, and it's been okay, but it's just not been a. Funnily enough, not as good as experience as 2K, because 2K obviously does have an Australasian server that EA doesn't, or so it would seem, because I'm often on there with I know, because I've been on in games with my friends in the US. So,
yep.
So I know that I'm definitely not on an Australian server at that point, or an Australasian server. And the experience just hasn't been as good. It's been choppy. Jump shots have been impossible with the lag. So really, that's why I've really gone to Ultimate Team, because Franchise, not where it needs to be. I really think that you need to have that single player and the robust single player experience, as well as the social connected experience as well, because online is not for everyone, even in this day and age. You know, you need to have that well-rounded game. So I really do hope that, as much as they're focusing on this new dimensions of social connection and whatnot, that they're also still having that traditional experience as well, because it's not dead. I think there's still a call for it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you look at some of the games that are out, and you know, look at Sony's first party, Nintendo's first party stuff, you know, they're all sort of more single player experiences as opposed to just being the online experience and that. So I really hope that, yeah, they really flesh out some of those modes. Even the WNBA mode, I really hope they flesh that out a little bit more. I suspect that, you know, it was with Live 18, you know, a lot of people complained that the mode was light, but I think it was also like a test balloon to sort of see, you know, if people would be interested in playing it. So obviously metrics in terms of people playing that would probably be a factor of how deep they make that mode in future iterations. So,
I mean, they'll have the telemetry data on that, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if you do want that experience with the WNBA, and it is actually a fun experience because you do have to play a different type of strategy, and that even XE commented when he played it for the few minutes when he was playing at my place, and that, you know, he did mention that it feels different and the strategy and that's different. So, yeah, I think there's a place for it. I'd love to see a female version iteration of the one, so like a WNBA version of it, you know, so that way female gamers can, you know, get more involved and interested in it. You know, in case of, again, I'll bring it back to X, you know, his little girls, they might be interested, you know, if they get their face scanned and stuff like that. So,
and if you at least have a season mode. I mean, bring into the one would be great if you could have both the NBA and WNBA version of both, as you said. But certainly a bit more than just the play now. Like you said, I think it is just testing the waters and just seeing the interest and everything. And again, they'll have the telemetry data on that. People have commented on it and usually commented positively. I mean, obviously, there's been the usual stupidity, as you often unfortunately see in gaming communities regarding women and whatnot. But I think there's been a lot of positivity around that as well, being extra content. Extra content never goes astray. Just like the all-time teams and the classic teams in 2K over the years. So at least get the season mode in there. And, I mean, we can run through the wish list for a whole show, obviously, from All-Star Weekend, deeper franchise, deeper career mode in the one, the squads and all the gameplay enhancements we want to see. You know, yeah, hopefully we do see that in NBA Live 19. And NBA Live 18 was a pleasing step forward. So it is promising, as we've said before. As I'll talk about in our weekend basketball gaming, I was playing NBA Live 18 over this weekend because I was finalizing my wish list. So I wanted to play a few games and make sure that it was fresh in my mind what I wanted to say about it. And, you know, it has improved, as we've said before, since launch. I'm seeing more three-pointers, more mid-range jump shots are happening as well. So they've already improved it, and I'm hoping that improvement also continues over into Live 19, that it doesn't take a few steps back to where it was before the patches, because it has come a long way, and if they keep working on it and doing things that can't be done in a patch but can be done in developing the new version, then Live 19 should be pretty solid.
Yeah, I reckon so. And yeah, I agree with that, you know, that the game has improved over the many months it's been out, and that in terms of with all the updates and added content to it and roster editing and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think they're definitely on the right track with things in terms of that. And obviously, you know, more time now to get where the game needs to be with Live 19 on the way. So, yeah.
With that being said, they can't really slack off now. I mean, Live 18, they bought a lot of goodwill, I think, with all the sales and the lower price point to begin with the pre-order and the improvements and everything. But I think they made some significant strides in Live 18, especially post-patch. And now Live 19 has to really
continue that momentum.
It has to really continue that momentum, yeah, and take some more big steps forwards and, really significant steps forward. That's like, oh, well, you know, yes, it's on the right track, and whoa, now it's really rocketing along that track. That's, you know, to continue the metaphor. So hopefully that's the way it is, but as far as we can tell, there will be an NBA Live 19, so I guess it puts an end to that speculation, if nothing else.
Yeah.
So from Live to 2K now, and of course the big news, I suppose, at the moment is the NBA 2K League, which is tipping off in, I guess, about a month or so. Is that the case? Well, certainly the draft is about a month away. They got to the 250 finalists. That's been whittled down to 102 draftees. The emails have been sent out. People are getting ready to be drafted on April 4th. So the league is going. Everything seems to be full speed ahead with the league. Not without its controversy, though, as a Kotaku article that you found notes. The headline of the article reads, the NBA 2K League's combine probably wasn't rigged, but didn't do itself any favors either, which kind of sums up a lot of what we've said about the 2K League and the combine over the past few weeks.
Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of speculation of how many of, are pro players already been drafted to, you know, is it more of really about community players and all, like, people from the community normally going to get in or anything like that? So it kind of speculates on, or goes into a little bit of that sort of element, but there's a few little things that looks as though it's occurred that does give it that sort of grey area of, well, that doesn't look like it was what they were going by or what they were saying originally. So yeah.
It does seem that there's been miscommunication at the very least. A lot of conspiracy videos out there, as noted by the article led by White Chocolate, 2K player there. A lot of videos claiming that the combine was rigged, as it says in the article, alongside some Illuminati imagery and dark melodramatic tone just to make the videos more entertaining and appealing. But things like leaked direct messages, emails not going out, and then people not getting the invite and then getting the direct message saying that it's
4 hours after the deadline.
Yeah, and saying that they're in, and mistakenly created a perception. Morocco replied on Twitter that he mistakenly created the perception with him that I had involvement in the player selection process. So a lot of stuff that's probably on the level, but doesn't look like it's on the level. Like, it's there's probably nothing to it, but it just, the way it's handled, it just looks shady. Several managers have stated that teams had no say in which players were eventually chosen to be among the 250, and the league eventually clarified that team managers were not permitted to participate in the cutdown process. And there's a statement from the league confirming the process and everything, and they've basically got a third-party analytics firm, Genji Esports. So they're doing it. I mean, it's on the level of the NBA draft lottery being rigged at this point, the conspiracy theories. Talks about favoritism, all that kind of thing, but as a Kotaku article note, a lot of speculation there that seems a little bit far-fetched. So I think the biggest thing, as we've discussed in previous shows, is not that it's necessarily rigged or not on the level, but just poor communication, which unfortunately remains a problem with 2K.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely an area where they have to improve on. I know they're a man down with in terms of their community side of things, but yeah, it's been an issue for a couple of years in terms of, you know, informing the community important information regarding their game. So yeah, it's a bit disappointing to see in that sense, you know. And I know it's going to be first year that they're doing this thing, so there's always going to be little hiccups in that. So hopefully, you know, if they're going to continue this in the next year or so, that, you know, those little kinks and that will be fine-tuned and all that stuff. So,
well, they do seem to be into the NBA 2K League for the long run, so guessing, unless there's a complete collapse, that it is going to be the first of many years, for the foreseeable future anyway, of the NBA 2K League. And esports don't seem to be going anywhere anyway, and they've, I would say, have done their due diligence as far as finance and everything, so we can expect it to continue. But draft taking place on April 4th. They've invited people to try out again next year, of course. So, again, we'll probably cover the league to some point. to some extent, comment on it, check it out, see how it all goes. But yes, it is going to start pretty soon. The classic example that we've given before with the lack of communication, I guess, is even from our perspective with 2K Pro-Am, even something as simple as not knowing the requirements for the tiers, for example. So it's just a matter of being a bit more open about these things and being forthcoming with the information and consistent with the information. As you said, there's going to be some hiccups at the start, but guess it is what it is. I don't think there is a major conspiracy there. I think they've just perhaps not been as transparent or forthcoming as perhaps they should. But I suppose, yeah, I'm interested to see how it goes, especially hearing about how the League Combine really was better than Pro-Am and Walk-On, as far as people said, especially with the selection of archetypes that they had. I'll definitely check it out. I don't know how much interest I'll have because I don't watch a lot of esports or streams or anything, but I'll check it out, as I've said before.
I think I've stated in previous ones, you know, it'd be an interest to sort of see how it's played the first week to like a couple of weeks later when, you know, the whole teams build up their chemistry element and all that stuff. So, you know, might watch one or two depending on obviously the times that they're on and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens.
So until April 4th was when the draft takes place. I guess there won't be too many more developments. Congratulations to everybody, the 102 people who are in the draft, I suppose, and getting ready to be moved around the country, much the same way as the real players going to the draft, as real athletes, I should say, going into the NBA draft. And speaking of gaming, it is time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Oh, that's a devastating dunk in his face. Oh, he just stole his heart with that dunk right there.
I started out my week of basketball gaming by not playing any basketball games, but instead playing Fallout 4 and finally finishing a playthrough of it. But I couldn't escape basketball, Ben, because I found the court at the ruins of the Boston University, and there I was. I had to take a picture of that, a screenshot of me looking up at the wrecked hoop, and of course there's a basketball hanging out just there on the court as well. So I took that, and you can sell it for caps. You can for the bottle caps, which are the currency in Fallout, of course, for those who are unfamiliar with it. But I just added it to my collection. Sentimentally, I like to have a basketball in my collection. Same as Fallout New Vegas and Fallout 3. I did the same thing there. Pretty sure I found a basketball in New Vegas. Certainly did, or in 3. But in any event, I finished Fallout 4, and having done that and doing the side quests and everything, I then took another break from that and got back to my usual basketball gaming, with actual basketball gaming, not just a wrecked hoop. And then, you know, went from the post-apocalyptic wasteland back to the virtual hardwood, playing a bit of my career just to continue to grind up the badges and whatnot. And we were going to take this week off. We said last week how it was such a terrible session last week that really left a bad taste in all of our mouths, and X had an event on and he wasn't going to take part, but then he came back early, and then Leo and I, we all ended up getting on anyway and playing some games, and it actually turned out to be a good session for once.
Yeah,
I should not say for once, because we've had good sessions before, but considering we usually have to take a break, like a few weeks break after sessions like the ones we had last week, it actually turned out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there was one game we probably didn't play our greatest in, and we probably should. And we were actually competitive against an elite team, and we probably should have won that one.
But yeah, we went 3-2 on the night. We could have gone 4-1. We possibly could have gone 5-0. That first game, we did just play rather terribly. The second game, I couldn't make a shot, and then the last next three games were we did win that game, even though I wasn't hitting the shots. But the last three games were pretty good. As you said, we faced off against an elite team. We saw them come up, and we all kind of groaned because we figured, oh, they're going to be tough. And we saw them, and they're all 90 plus and 96, so they're obviously done a lot of grinding. They know their stuff. They've been pretty good on the sticks and whatnot. They were 21-3 with this squad, and we hung with them. We hung with them, and we could have won. We came very close. It was a bit of a collapse in the fourth quarter, and they hit a couple of threes to pull out in front again, but we were in with a shot with that one. We really could have won.
Yeah, and it was devastating in a small degree, but I think, you know, it gave us a bit of confidence and for the rest of the night in that sense. And yeah, and I think, yeah, it definitely boded well for us. I think some of us had some interesting stat nights too. Like,
well, we had some big numbers, absolutely. We had a team, what were they called? Let me just name of the team here. Where is it not showing up? But you did have a 17-point, 18 rebound game in a 72-60 victory. We had, I think that might have been against, was it the plebs or something?
something like that, yeah. And then there was the game before, it was like, I think 20-16 or something, or 20 plus points and 16 rebounds. It was hard to tell because the team, I may have screenshotted it beforehand, quit.
They quit as the game was already over, which means you get it counts as a forfeit. I mean, you still get all the stats and everything, but at the same time, you don't get to see that final box score screen, unfortunately, so we didn't get to save it, yeah. Mm. But yeah, you had 17-18 in that game. That was the game I was 6-7 from three-point range and had the 20 points and 7 assists. So I tied Leo for top scorer for our team in that one, 42 points on the other team for the top scorer for the game, but I actually had the 20 points and 7 assists. Yeah, I'm actually hitting threes now, and I have to give the shout-out to Jay Young AD on this one because I put out the article earlier in the week, the Monday tip-off, talking about my adventures of trying to find a jump shot, and gave me the suggestion for a base and a release, and it took a little bit of adjustments to get it working online and the timing with the lag and everything. But from the last three games, I am shooting 13 and 15. I've made 13 of my last 15 from beyond the arc, so it seems to be working out.
Yeah, well, you know, for us, it was now a test of can it hold up for multiple sessions and that. So
it's not, yeah, just not just kind of hold up beyond a game, can hold up beyond a session. So that was, I mean, that felt good to actually hit threes because obviously I can't dunk with my archetype this year. So, well, I can occasionally. I got a couple on the first game, which kind of fired us up in that first win we had when I threw those down, even a cradle dunk, which was it was from the cradle dunk package, which I do have. I re-equipped those because obviously taking off the fancy dunks doesn't make a difference because we found it out. So I'm like, okay, well, I might as well just put it back on so that I can try them. So I got a couple of dunks in that game, hitting the threes. It does feel a lot better. It's a lot more of a natural shot. Again, thank you to Jay Young AD for the great advice on that one because I've tried pretty much everything this year. So this may be the winner, at least until it gets patched, of course. So hitting those threes. In the last game, other thing, I was getting a lot of steals the other night.
Yeah, you were.
Some of them body steals, but quite a few interceptions. I had kind of those Pippen interceptions where he tips it up and then catches it and then starts the fast break. And I finished one with an alley-oop to you. I got the steal at one end and ran up the court and got you for an alley-oop. Actually got it. Yep. And the most amazing thing is that game, I had 12 points, 2 rebounds, 20 assists. The 20th assist was the alley-oop to you at the end there. 4 steals, a block, no fouls or turnovers, 4 or 5 shooting, 3 or 4 from 3-point range. You had 20 and 10 in that game, 10 of 14 shooting. Leo had the game high of 37. But, I mean, obviously 20 assists and 0 turnovers I'm pretty happy with. But the fact that I had 0 turnovers with 2 alley-oop attempts, and neither alley-oop attempt went awry, and they both counted for assists, that's a pretty good game. So I'm pretty happy that we won 84-66. So that was a game, I'm very happy with that one. We ended on that one, which it wasn't going to get better than that for the night. That was the fifth one of the night, so we made a good decision to call it. It was strange that X had a tough night shooting from the field. I'm hoping that it's not going to be a case where he's on and I'm off and vice versa, you know, because I reckon we'll have some really good sessions if we're both knocking down threes, because even we had a game where we all hit at least 1 3 as well. So that was, I don't think that's ever happened in 2K Pro-Am before. So that was pretty fun to have. I think that might have been in the game that they forfeited, because I don't seem to have that box score when I was looking through my screenshots.
Yeah, I think that may have been that game as well, which is disappointing.
That is definitely unfortunate, but it was a better than usual session, and I'm glad to have hopefully finally found my jump shot. It seems to be working pretty well in my career as well. Still playing my career just to grind up the badges. I'm about 77%, actually, is that high? 70, might be closer to 75% towards the next cap breaker, just inching very slowly towards that. Helps that we're playing a bit of Pro-Am and Playground. That's the other thing, we played some Playground games. We had a couple of games on last Friday that turned out pretty well, and again, with the jump shots seem to be working pretty well there, making some long threes in there and winning the 3-on-3 for a couple of games there. But the reason we only played a couple of games, we probably could have played more, but it took ages to get there because we kept having issues where Leo getting chucked to another server. So then we had to wait around for a game because we couldn't get one. We played the
It was funny because in one of the first case of when he couldn't see us, but we could see him on the server.
And then he couldn't see me and he could see you, but then he couldn't see either of us. And then he disappeared when we ran around. We went back through the subway, then we ran around, and he disappeared again. So we finally got in there after much messing around, and then we played the two games, and there was no one in the park.
Yeah.
No one in the playground.
It's been like that the last couple of weeks, actually. Like from when you and I played that, it's been pretty empty in the park.
Yeah, because we actually played after we recorded last week. We recorded on the Saturday last week and showing up on the Sunday. But after that, we did play a couple of games at Playground, and took us a while to get a game. And then I think we were like the only people left in the park, or two of the last three on the server that we were on.
Yeah, no, we were the only two at one point for like a couple of minutes, and then
that's right, yeah.
And we decided, all right, we'll go do something else then.
We won the 2-on-2, which was good, and then the 3-on-3 was... So, I don't mind a bit of Playground, as I've said before. So it's actually been a pretty decent session online of 2K lately. Considering the second-to-last Pro-Am session was so painful that we thought we'd have to take another break, but we gave it a shot because I wanted to try out the new jump shot, and it seems to be working, so... Hopefully we'll get on Friday night next week and it'll all be good again. I'll probably jinx it now, but nevertheless.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that there's, we can continue a good run, and that both you and X, shooting continues, like that you both shoot well in that sense. So yeah, it'll be good to see.
Fingers crossed.
And I'm closing in on the double doubles as well.
You are, yeah. So I'm gonna have to. Make sure I at least get my 10 assists, and if I can hit my 4 threes a game, then I'll get the 12 points, so I guess I'll get the double-doubles then, so that'll be good. I am actually averaging the double digits in scoring. I've ticked over to 10 points now in our Pro-Am squad, and I'm 9.7 assists, so I'm creeping up towards averaging the double-double again, a bit closer to that. So you'll be getting pretty... You'll probably start getting there too if you keep getting those big rebound games.
Yeah, well, I've already crept up to like 7 or more rebounds a game in my average, especially after that last night or that session on Friday. That was that definitely boosted it. So I think I can probably, if we continue playing for the next few weeks and if I continue getting those kind of rebounds games, I reckon I can hit an average of 8 rebounds a game pretty quickly.
I'm hoping to get my steals up above a game, or one a game, because I think I'd about 2 or 3 of the games had at least 4 or 5 steals on the Friday night. Let's see, I just had the one in that one in the 72-60, but in the last one I did have the 4 steals, of course, thanks to those interceptions. That was fun to do. So that's new that I've been able to add that online, except again, they're mostly body steals, because that's what I've been getting in my career. In the month of January, I'm averaging 5.7 steals a game, but I'd say at least 4 of them are all body steals and just running through from behind and just clipping the ball out from behind and then scooping it up.
That's what I've been trying to do as well.
It's because it's just so hard to get a reach in, to reach in and without getting a reach in foul, that is. So that's something they've got to really fix up in 2K19, so that you can actually play the ball handler and poke it loose with good timing instead of just having the automatic foul. Press steal to foul, not exactly the way we want it to be. But currently it is. The other thing I noticed is that for the month of December in my career, I averaged a triple-double. So about 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 17 assists per game. A couple of rebounds down in January, so only about, scoring's up to about 34. So it's about 34, 8, and 16 so far in January. So I'm putting up the numbers, which is all going towards the Badgers, basically, and getting some triple-doubles. I need to start throwing some more lobs because I am actually starting to make them with the badge, but yeah, there's not that many players on the Bulls that will actually get them. It's Bobby Portis seems to be the only one that will finish, because so he punches it down, if you will, when you throw it out to him. So that's basically what I've been doing in 2K, either with you guys or my career. Have you been doing anything in 2K?
Yeah, I've played one more my career game. That was before we did it, or maybe after. I think maybe the following day when we... Crap, I can't remember. Oh, no, it may have been earlier in the day where I did a My Career game. And, yeah, I maxed out another gold badge. Getting closer to getting the gold glue hands, so that'll be nice to get. Hopefully that can minimize those bad catches and stuff where you just fumble the ball or lose it in that sense. So hoping that minimizes that. Had another win. I'm up to January 20 something now. I think 24th. Oh no, December 24th. Sorry, I should say.
Okay, so you haven't lapped me quite yet then.
Yeah, I'm getting close. I might try and squeeze in a few more games this week just to sort of see. And if I can sort of get past December and that. But yeah, so far this season I've only had one loss, and that was against Philly. And I think that was a game where you could sort of tell the game was forcing the loss in that sort of sense. You know, you can sort of feel, well, the way this things were going in that sort of sense. Beat the last game I had was beat the Spurs by a fair bit. Not one of my biggest wins. I think I've had a 70-plus point win a couple of weeks ago when I last played. It was a pretty good game. Another triple double, 50 something points, and I think 11 and 11 or something like that. It's a good run so far in that sort of sense. But yeah, just not playing it as much at the moment. Playing a bit more live though.
Oh yeah, yep. No, I have been playing live. I just remember that I'd also had a game where I shot 8 of 13 from 3, but I started out 8 of 8, and that was using Stephen Curry's just his default form, the purchase one, not a created jump shot. Yep. That's when I thought that one might be the way to go, and then I got the suggestion from Jae Young, and yeah, I'm sticking with that one for the moment. But Curry's shot did seem to work out okay for the first 8 shots, and that got the accolade up, 8 straight 3-pointers, and then missed the next 5, so go figure. But this one seems to be working a bit better. So what have you been doing in live?
I've been running more with my second created player,
mm-hmm.
the hybrid wing player. I've got him up to about a 79 now, I think, in rating. And it's been a lot more fun in terms of the types of dunks and sort of play style and that. Still not as good on defense at this stage as I'd like to be, but I know once I unlock the following types of traits and that, the ones that the second tier level ones, I'll be able to improve the defensive side of things and that, so I'll focus on that. I've got a bronze statement dunker trait, which is cool. So starting to get a bit more of those sort of posterizers and that.
Yep.
I was originally just going to have this guy as like my live event pro-am sort of guy, but I did actually play an NBA game. Like I did the pro-am events to leading up to the draft, you know, to try and get some quick boosting and all that stuff and level up the player a bit quicker. And ended up going first in the draft, and then I requested a trade to Miami because I was already on Philly on my other team, like the other creative player. So I was like, all right, let's try something different. And so I played the first game, and it was against the Bucks, and had a really good win on that one. It was like a 20-point win in that, so that was cool. Was it 4-4, I think it was my game stats for that. Playing about an 8-minute quarters, doing a 29-game season.
Oh yeah.
In that sense, I did initially. I mean, I did actually start a game, and then I realized it was a 5 minute quarter.
Oh yeah, like, I've done that. Yeah, before.
So I quit the game, and it wasn't because I think I was up at that stage anyway. But it was like, I wanted to improve the minutes and like get a bit more game
actually,
time out.
Actually, get to have a run. Yeah, because otherwise you're gonna get about 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah. So I mean, I did quit that game, and I did, you know, change the settings and to 8 minutes and that. So and sim 12 minutes and that. So so yeah, that was definitely worth it in the end. And yeah, I was actually going to play a second game, but it was already just after 3 a.m. and I was like, no, I better go to bed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that was end up happening, or I was about to. And then I think I played Fortnite,
sure,
maybe a couple of games. So I ended up going to bed a little bit later than that. But no, it's been fun with that. A couple of the live events I've been playing as well, just to, you know, sort of see and do. You know, some of the reward things haven't been too much stuff that I'm interested in. I get a couple of the things every now and then, but you know, it's
that's just been my problem with the live events. Apart from, of course, never really having that great experience with the connection. If I'm not playing with you guys, if I'm playing with randoms, it's pretty painful and also very laggy. But yeah, I looked at the crates and thought, nah, I'm not really that interested in the gear.
Yeah, I think, you know, that, you know, can be a good and bad thing in a way. Like in the good area, that, you know, the whole loot crate things being considered gambling and all that stuff. One thing that's good about the live ones is you can actually see the rewards and you can sort of go, all right, well, is it worth me playing this mode, or do I just focus on another mode or something like that?
Well,
so, you know,
the other thing is they are cosmetic as well.
Yeah.
In here, the loot crates are all cosmetic rewards, and you also
you can't buy them with real money. So,
and
yeah,
you get the RP, and you can get skill points as well by playing the live events if you're leveling up quick enough with it. So yeah, it's all worth it. I remember leveling up very quickly when I was going through the event to get the Pippen jersey,
yeah,
the other week, or the other month, I should say. It's going back a couple of months now. I've actually found, because I've played a couple of the Prime Tour games over the weekend,
yeah,
and just to get back into that. And yeah, I'm thinking baseline high is my most preferred angle in live, because it's most similar to the 2K cam that I'm used to for Pro-Am and my career. And
yeah,
I think
you can do it where you can rotate the camera as well.
Yeah, you can either do camera lock or not. So I actually have camera lock on, because I prefer to have the camera lock in 2K as well. I don't like that it rotates in 2K. I'd prefer to have the lock. But I think baseline highs works best for me. It's still not great, partly because it follows the ball instead of your player. That is the main thing, no matter what camera angle you've got. But
yeah,
baseline high seems to work the best for my visibility, because I've tried the player lock one, and I just don't like that angle and the way the camera swings back and forth. It just doesn't feel good. You almost start to feel a bit sick trying to.
Yeah, you can get disorientated and sort of lose where you're at with it.
Yeah, so I stick with baseline high. Played a couple of that ones of the Prime Tour. Still on that first one, the Philadelphia, the Chosen League one, because I haven't really gotten into that. I've been playing Ultimate Team mostly. So a couple of games of that, just to see which camera angle I wanted, and again to get some feedback for the wish list. A couple of exhibition games to get the wish list, but I also played some Ultimate Team games as well, because I wanted to give Clyde Drexler a run and Hakeem Olajuwon, because I've got them in the lineup now, and that was kind of a fun game. A couple of games to play there. Played the Big Moments Challenge. Got the short term Nikola Jokic card.
Nice.
That's just 5 games. With the Big Moments, you can either, it's random chance. You either get the short term or the permanent card. I was hoping I'd get the permanent card, just for the short term. Fair enough. Again, I've got Hakeem Olajuwon and Yao Ming as my centers, so I can do without the permanent Jokic at the moment. Drexler's pretty fun to play with. He can finish, as you would imagine, pretty well. Pippen's dunk package, I think they need to fix up again, because he's not dunking as well as Drexler, and he certainly could back in his day. And also played the Nets Legends Challenge and got a short-term Julius Erving, the Nets version, with a big afro.
Oh, yeah.
And
yep,
number 32, of course, for the New York Nets back in the day when they were back there as the New York Nets, rather. Well, they're the Brooklyn Nets now, which is back in New York anyway. But Certainly looked wrong seeing him in a Brooklyn Nets jersey. Kenny Anderson is in that challenge as well. And the other legends are Drazen Petrovic, which he's got a 99 three-point rating, so he's pretty good. I wouldn't mind picking him up, but I don't have the coins. And I don't mind dropping a few bucks every now and again if I really like the Legends packs.
Yeah,
like I did it for Pippen. I did it for Olajuwon to get. But Nets Legends, eh. I was actually hoping there'd be Coleman, but Otis Birdsong is the fourth player, which is kind of weird because his best years were with the Kansas City Kings. But decent player in his time, of course. But I was hoping for Coleman so I could have a retro power forward because I'm still running with a Bucker at the moment. But
yeah, because I remember we were debating, you know, players that they could have. They could have Kidd or...
Yeah, you know, Kidd's not in there, yeah, yeah.
KVH or Kenny Amon or Richardson or even a Vince Carter and that sort of thing. So
the throwback Carter would have been good, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're okay players, but I'm not that disappointed about missing out on them. I've got my Drexler, I've got my Drexler Pippen and Olajuwon. That's a pretty good, and Yao Ming for that matter. So that's a pretty good retro rotation right there. Curry knocking down threes for me as well. And I do like Ibaka because it's a good card that he can knock down threes and drive and dunk and block and rebound, etc. But I just like to have another retro player there for my starting five.
Yep.
And actually, wouldn't mind a Kenny Anderson, but he doesn't have as good a three-point rating as Curry. So, and that's pretty good. Because it was funny playing it because they were just collapsing on Olajuwon, and then I'd kick it out and then kick it back, and I have like this wide-open three for Curry, and they just didn't know what to do about it, which was good, although they do need to improve that. Admittedly, that challenge is on pro or whatever, so it's pretty damn easy. So there was one that I held them to 2 points. Cool. in the for most of the first half, and then I think I ended up beating them 58-10. So it was a pretty pretty stacked team against only three legends, and the rest are just Nets basically. Nets. So I do want to see that mode get deeper, of course, but that was fun to play, and again, it gave me a bit more insight to finish up my wish list items over the weekend. But yeah, it was a bit of fun going back and forth between 2K and Live, and actually getting back into the Pro-Am Tour as well. But yeah. One thing I did notice, because I was looking at the crates again, because there's a lot of crates I haven't opened yet for my player, and there's one with the EA Sports crate. It's got the Pixel shirts.
Yep. I got a couple of those Pixel shirts, and including the actual shirt that I actually bought when I was
in. Yeah, well, that's the thing, because when I went over to the event in 2015, the store there at the TV Run studio was closed for renovations or something, so I couldn't get one, unfortunately. And yeah, so I need to get my hands on a real one, but for the moment, I want to get my hands on a virtual one because it looks really cool for my player. So at least my player can get one. So I just need to grind up a few more reward points and get a couple more crates, because I knew that it's like, that's going to be the last one, isn't it? It's going to be the last one I get. And sure enough, every other thing, the boxing, soccer, a tribal tattoo, and it's nothing that it's like, no, I want the Pixel, the NBA Live Pixel shirt. That's what I want. And of course, and it's times like that where I wish you could just use RP to just buy it, just like 2K, but... Yeah, I don't mind, because the RP builds up pretty quick, so you can get the crate pretty quickly.
Yeah, I got nearly 300,000 to sort of spend in that sort of thing, and I was obviously waiting until I can unlock some crates. I think it's more when I'm going to actually have to do it with the NBA side of things, because I pretty much almost got most of the maxed out street ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
I got most of the items I want from that.
Because I haven't really been playing the league. I haven't got high enough with level to get the later ones, but I think I've kind of basically got the ones I really want with the sleeves and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was funny, like, with that Pixel shirt too, I was going to try and get you one on the last day I was there. But we were so busy on that last day, and the time I got to go to the actual store part, it was actually shut, and I was like, so it was just, one of those busy days, so I was disappointed I didn't sneak out earlier and get you the chance to get the shirt, and that is just...
We've got our contacts there. Hopefully we can get our hands... I can get my hands on one way or the other one of these days. So it's been fun, as I said, to go back to Live again and see that the game continue to improve and to compile a wish list and keep going with the Ultimate Team and a bit of Pro-Am Tour as well. And yeah, I think I'm going to stick with Baseline High for that, because I gave Player Lock a go, but I just don't like the way it swings back and forth. It's almost... I don't get motion sickness or seasickness or anything, but I reckon if I kept playing on that angle, I might finally force myself into that. So, if nothing else, it was just too disorientating and frustrating to play because I kept losing my player. So you just need that visibility, even on the baseline camera angle when it swings around a bit too much. You can lose your player when it's when you're playing off ball, defending off ball. So yeah, but
yeah,
definitely something to fix in Live 19. I think that's something that I think everyone's stressing is to focus on the ball on the player rather than the ball because you need to know where you are more so than the ball. You need to see the whole court, much like the 2K angle, that in 2K Pro Am and in my career. But yeah. If nothing else, focus on your player so you can see where you are and where your man is, because otherwise you're stuffed.
Yeah, especially if you're going up against a 3-point shooter and they're sitting in that corner wing and all of a sudden they move, they will get potentially a 2-second head start to get open, and so you're basically exposed on that sort of, especially if you're playing on the line as well and you got against a 3-point gunner and you got the whole team. On their mic, sort of going, "Oh, stay on your guy," and it's like, "Yeah, I'm trying," but it's the camera angle.
I'd love to, but I can't see where he is. Yeah,
yeah.
So I guess that's pretty much all we've been doing this week. Bit of everything.
Yeah,
bit of everything. I still want to get a few more mods out. I've been working on a few things. I originally had these grand plans for March Modernist that I'd be releasing something every day or every second day. Hasn't quite worked out that way, but I am still cooking up a few things. So. Stay tuned, and of course, a reminder to everybody else that throughout the month of March, with March Modernist, we do have the contest going. A couple of people have entered it already. Check out the sticky thread in the forum or the bulletin on the main page for more information on how you can win a copy of NBA Live 19 or NBA 2K19 simply by releasing mods in the month of March. We do have a couple of entries already. Would like to get a few more people involved in that because it does also mean that we have some things permanently uploaded to our download section. So get onto that and we will look to reward you with a game.
On a note of a competition thing, I'm considering doing something because I still have that $10 NBA store code.
Oh, yep.
That I haven't used yet.
You want it to be in the US because that wouldn't even pay the shipping. Australia.
Yeah. It's definitely $10 US in that sense, or in currency format. I'll still check whether the code works. I'm pretty sure it would. I don't think it'd be expired by now or anything like that. They usually give you a year or two on those sort of things to use codes and that. But yeah, I'll try and make sure that it still works. And yeah, looking at potentially doing a giveaway with one of the NLSC shirts and that $10 code. I'll think about the sort of what would be the competition, whether it be something like a patch or something, or like a mod for one of the games and that that someone does. So something similar to what you're doing with the March Modernist sort of thing. Yeah, so I'll probably announce more in the coming weeks. The shirts are still about to arrive very soon, with Chinese New Year and that's happened. It would delay them just a little bit, like about a week or so, because the factory was closed for about 2 weeks from memory. So, I should have the shirts. Hopefully, I'm hoping to... invoice arrives this week, so that would indicate it would probably be within a couple of days to the following week, and that'll arrive. Stay tuned for more, I guess would be the
yeah thing. Sure. So in the meantime, that has brought us to the end of episode number 240 of the NLSC podcast. As always, we hope you enjoyed tuning in and listening to your two favorite Australians talking about basketball video games. Not so much basketball at the moment, but I'm sure as the season winds down and the playoffs tip off, we'll have more to say about the real NBA. Until then, of course, we encourage you to subscribe to the show on iTunes, or you can find us on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices. You can also keep streaming the show on the NLSC itself, as long as you're enjoying tuning in and listening to the show. That's the main thing. As always, we invite you to connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. And of course, the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. Oh, and hey, why not follow us on Instagram as well, NLSC Basketball, just to mess up the branding. thank you to whoever took the NLSC. But with that being said, that is all for this week. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
and we're out like the Houston Rockets winning streak.